Tonight, God's Word comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew 25. We're going to be reading the first 30 verses of this chapter. Matthew 25, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourself." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I did not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And so also, he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, we are the first Sunday and the first day of a new year. It often seems that the change of the calendar, there is a sense of anticipation for the year coming up ahead. Perhaps you have particular things that you are anticipating in 2012. Perhaps a vacation this summer you are looking forward to. Perhaps it will be a year for a job change. Perhaps a year for a move in your family. There's a certain sense of anticipation and excitement as we enter into a new year. And so it's important as we think about the passing of time that we remember that our God is a God of time. And a God who watches over and guides and directs all that His people do. He has been with us in the past year, and we trust He will be with us in the year to come. Are we ready for 2012? Are we ready for what God might have in store for us? Perhaps this is the year that God might come and take His people to be with Him again. That was the expectation that the New Testament Christians had, that God would return once again, and He would return quickly and take all His people to be with Him. Perhaps this is the year that God will return. Perhaps it's the year that in God's providence, we might pass on and meet Him. We don't know for sure what the upcoming year holds. Are we ready? If it should be the case that God in His good providence should come and return and take all His people, are we ready for the coming of our Lord? If it should be in God's providence, He should take us to be with Him. Are we ready? Are we ready to meet Him? It's important as we think about the passing of time to recognize there will be an end of times when God will come again. Either that will come when He returns or when He takes us to be with Him. The parables in Matthew 25 talk about being ready for the coming of God, being ready to meet the Master. So we're going to look at these two related parables tonight under the theme of being ready and willing. The first parable talks about the importance of being ready for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it does that under the parable of virgins waiting to meet a bridegroom. It was the custom at the time, if a wedding was going to take place, that there would be those who would wait in anticipation for the groom to come. And our text says there were these 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. They're waiting for him to arrive. 5 of them were wise. 5 of them were foolish. The foolish ones, they took their lamps to meet the bridegroom, but they took no oil with them. Now, kids, it'd be sort of like this. That was, of course, before electricity. There was no electricity. So they had to have lamps or torches to light the way. What they would do to keep those torches going is they would put oil in them. So to be truly prepared was to take not only a lamp, but take oil as well. We might say today, if you're going to take a flashlight, can you imagine how foolish it would be to take a flashlight with you and no batteries? Just the light, empty light, but no batteries to go with it. That wouldn't make any sense. That's kind of the picture going on here. So these foolish virgins, they took the flashlight, but they forgot the batteries. And they wait. They thought they were prepared. The wise were prepared. They had the flashlight and the batteries. They had the lamps and the oil. They all thought they were prepared. But the bridegroom tarried. There was delay. There was wait. They waited, and they even became so drowsy and fell asleep. They all thought they were ready. But it was only when the bridegroom actually arrived did they find out who was ready. Finally, the cry comes out at midnight, "Here he is, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." And all those virgins rose and they trimmed their lamps. They got ready. They were going to put the oil in the lamps. And the foolish said, "We don't have any oil. Our lamps are going to go out." They thought they had prepared. They thought they were ready. But they demonstrated they were unready for the coming of the bridegroom. They even asked the wise for help. And we have to understand, we've talked in men's Bible study, the teaching purpose of a parable. Jesus is not here saying it's not good to help other people out. That's not His point in this parable. But He's saying those who are ready are ready. And those who are unprepared suffer the consequences. The bridegroom comes. The celebration begins. Those who are wise, prepared, oil and lamp in hand, go and enter in. And they celebrate the joy of the wedding. Those who are not prepared are told, "Well, maybe you can go yet find help, yet find preparation." But as they're gone, the bridegroom comes, the door is shut, and it's too late. The time of preparation is over. They go to the door and they say, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And his answer, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you." They thought they were ready. They thought they were prepared. Jesus says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Are we ready for 2012? Are we ready if this should be the year that we should meet the bridegroom, our Savior, Jesus Christ? He has delayed his coming. It has been some 2,000 years since he said he would return again. And it's easy for us to get complacent. Well, he didn't come last year. He didn't come the year before. He didn't come the year before. What are the chances he'll come this year? And we say, you know, there's always time to prepare. There's always time later. He hasn't come yet. Maybe we don't even expect Christ to come in the upcoming year. We think we know so much about the future. We think we can plan things so well. But we forget the future is an unknown. Unknown to us, but known to God. Therefore, watch. You know neither the day nor the hour. The future is not concrete. The future is not according to our plans. It could be the case that Christ does not come in the next year. It could be the case he comes before the next Lord's Day. Do we ever think really in those terms? That this really could be the last week on earth for us before we meet the bridegroom? Are we ready? We notice in the parable, it's not enough simply to be around those who were ready. It's not enough to be close to those who were ready. The foolish and the wise were very similar. They were perhaps even friends. They hung out together. But it was not enough to be near the wise. It's not enough to be near those who are ready for the coming of the Lord. Each of us must be ready. We can't say, well, my church is ready for Christ's coming. That's good enough. We can't say, my parents are ready for Christ's coming. That's good enough. Are we ready? If tonight should be the night that Christ would return, are we ready to meet him? It is the wise. It is those who have thought ahead, who have prepared, that are allowed then to enter into the joy and celebration of the coming of the bridegroom. It's important, it's proper, it's right that we be ready for the coming of the Lord, either on the clouds of heaven or that we meet him, should he take us to be with him. The first parable tells us about the importance of being ready. The second parable tells us what that readiness looks like. And we will demonstrate our readiness to meet our Lord and Savior when we have a willingness to work for him. We are waiting. We are in a time of delay. We're looking forward. What do we do during that waiting time? That's the point of our second parable. It will be like a man going on a journey. A man who calls his servants and gives to them his property. He distributes his assets to them. He gives one 5 talents. He gives one 2 talents. He gives one talent, each according to his ability. You see, the master knew his servants, and he knew what they were capable of. We're not given any indication that they were unable to do with the money what they should have. No, he gives to each according to his ability, and then he goes away. And it is the wise. It is those who know that the Master will return that begin right away demonstrating their preparation, their readiness for Him to return. It is not a time of passive waiting. It is a time of active responsibility. We read, he who had received the 5 talents went at once. Went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. 100% return on his investment. The man who had 2 talents, he goes as well. And he does his trading, and he also receives 100% return. He doubles what the master has given to him. The wise go at once to demonstrate they don't know when the master will come back. So they're going to start working right away. And then there is the foolish who had received 1. We don't read anything of him even trying to use the talent he had been given. Rather, he takes it, digs a hole in the ground, and hides his master's money. That's how he chose to prepare. Passive waiting rather than active responsibility. And the master does return. He comes back once again to settle accounts. You see, he had the expectation that they would take what had been given to them and use it for his benefit. And so he calls and begins to settle accounts. And the one who had the 5 talents came in and spoke to him. Lord, Master, you gave me 5, and here I have made 5 more. What does the master say? Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter the joy of your master. Come and enjoy the blessings of being a part of my household. The one who had 2 came forward. He doesn't say, look, I didn't do as well as the last guy. He doesn't say that. He says, Master, you gave me 2. And here I have used those 2 and have 2 more. And the master gives that same commendation. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter the joy of your master. He too would be welcomed into the celebration with the master's household. And then the one who's been given the 1 talent comes forward. And you can almost imagine, it's a parable, but you can almost imagine this last servant almost beginning to sweat a bit. He's done nothing. And so he tries to say to the master, somehow it's your fault that things ended up the way they are. Master, I knew you were a hard man. You reap where you don't sow. You gather where you don't scatter. I was afraid. I was afraid to take what you gave to me. And so I did nothing. I hid it in the ground. Here's what you gave to me in the first place. Whereas both others had heard, well done, good and faithful servant, the master responds now, you wicked and slothful servant. You wicked, slothful servant, even if what you're saying is true, that I reap where I have not sown, that I gather where I have not sowed seed, then you should have at least gotten interest for me. That's the least you could have done. But you've done nothing. You had every opportunity, just like the other 2. You have done nothing. Take the talent from him and give it to the others. Verse 29, for everyone who has, more will be given. He will have an abundance. From him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. The necessity of being a willing servant of our God as an act of our preparation. Now we know that in this parable, talents refers to money. That's what talents means. But it was this parable and others like it that give the root to our understanding of our word talent today. Talent, a gift. Talent, an ability. God in His providence has allowed us to remain behind while Christ went back into heaven. And that He gives gifts, He gives abilities, He gives talents to His people to use. What are we doing with the talents God has given to us? Now, to some he gives many. Some get five, some get two, some get one. They each get according to their ability. And they are to take that allotment from God and to use it in his service. As we think about the year to come, we reflect upon what God might call forth from us. We are those who, as servants, have been given a blessing from him. Will we use that? The one with five went out immediately and took what he had and began to use it for the Lord. As we reflect upon God's gifts to us, what have we done with them? Have we been inactive? Perhaps we look at the past year. Has God given us opportunities for serving him, which we have not taken advantage of? Perhaps we are angry we haven't received what someone else received, but there's no hint of that. God gives us what we need and what he knows we can handle. Some of us might say, well, look, I've only got one. My talent is so small, it's so insignificant. No one would notice if I did anything with it. God would notice. He is the one who entrusted it to us. And he is the one who calls us to use our gifts and talents for him. Are we ready for 2012? Are we even now actively preparing to use the gifts, the talents, the abilities God has given to us? Because there will be a day of reckoning. That's the last story given to us in chapter 25. We didn't read that tonight. But a story of the Son of Man coming in his glory with the angels to judge the earth. And we'll need to look at this story some other time. We don't have time tonight. But what's interesting to notice is the judgment between the sheep and the goats is based upon what they had done. That's how they're separated. On whether they had cared for others, given food to others, given drink to others. That's how they're divided. By the actions that they took. Had they used their talents properly? Are we ready for 2012? God has given to each of us the most glorious gift. The gift of the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. The one who has come to save us from our sins. We who are dead have been brought to life. We who were in darkness have been brought to light. We know that. God has shown that to us. He's revealed himself to us. What have we done with that knowledge? What have we done with that most glorious gift of salvation? Have we gone out right away and shared that truth with someone else? Or have we taken all the glories and beauty of the gospel and buried it in the ground, sharing it, using it with no one around us? Are we ready for 2012? We know that the gifts are gifts from God, and he is the one who instills us with the abilities to use our talents for him. And yet it is our work, it is our hands, it is our feet, it is our mouths that share the glories of what we have. It's important to be ready, but that readiness is demonstrated by a willingness to serve, a willingness to obey, a willingness to use whatever gifts, talents, abilities God has given to us. We can't say, well, mine aren't as great as somebody else's, so I don't have to do anything. It's not a passive waiting. It's an active responding to the call to faith and obedience. God calls us to be ready for the year to come, ready for a year in which to serve him. It may be the case that we gather one year from now again, reflecting upon God's goodness and God's faithfulness in the past. It may be the case that some of us won't be here We will have gone to meet the bridegroom. It may be the glorious case that God would once again fulfill His word and return in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, and take us to be with Him. We don't know what the future holds. Are you ready for 2012? Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank You for Your word, a word that directs us in every part of our lives. It is so often for us to easy for us to just think that things will continue on as they always have been. And yet we know You are faithful to Your word, and You have told us You will come again. May we not put off our preparation. May we not be foolish, assuming there's always one more day, one other day in which we can serve You. Lord God, move our hearts tonight that we might be ready and willing to use whatever gifts and talents, whatever opportunities You provide for Your honor and glory. May we not look back a year from now and regret a lack of service for You. But may we say it has been our pleasure, it has been our privilege to serve the great bridegroom, the great master, the one who we know will come once again to take all of His people to be with Him. Oh Lord God, may You move us to be ready for that great and glorious day. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.